Yo, so my guest on this podcast, I believe it's her very first time to come on a podcast. Pop that pee! Oh my God.
Ray Ray is fundamental, okay. Number one podcast from the get-go. Yeah. And since you're listening, you got good sense, so let me break it down on this instrumental. It's basketball and all its essences. It's full of pop culture references.
Okay.
Point guards to stretch fours and fives. The last Buffy episode, despite survive. Never mind, let me get on track. Houston had a good run, and a team was stacked. We had plans for the T-Wolves, y'all remember? Yeah. Quick question in sync, who's your favorite member? Oops, I did it again. Hold up, wait, best team on the court, probably Golden State.
Yeah.
Korean them, yeah, they out this world, but ask Ray is top five, he's saying it's Spice Girls.
Hey guys, this is the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 96, being recorded July the 3rd, 2018, brought to you by RayRay.net. I am Ray Ray, I'm fun, and I'm mental. So, for this podcast, our guest, OG Lakers Twitter, Anna Melissa, the creator of the catchphrase, catch lobs, not feelings. You can buy those t-shirts on tpublic.com with her name on it. Anna Melissa. Yeah, so if you don't remember the Lakers back in the 2009 offseason, she was actually featured very heavily along with her family because the former Ron Artest, well, Meta World Peace, was calling people out on Twitter like, hey, what's to do in LA? I want to have some fun. And I believe Anna Melissa and her sister tweeted him, and before you know it, Ron was over at her place, and then they became fast friends, and it was a beautiful friendship that was aired on all the news channels like ESPN and CNN, all that stuff. It was really cool, and Anna Melissa has been a prominent member of NBA Twitter, well, Lakers Twitter, really, but, you know, she's a very influential voice, and it continues to grow, and I'm happy to have her on this podcast as we talk about the Lakers, all the happenings, all the weird stuff going on in the NBA in the offseason, as well as, of course, how she deals with those idiots on Twitter, because obviously if you're a woman in sports, you're going to get picked on for simply existing as a woman. And it sucks. And we're going to continue to champion this cause about how, you know, women are, they're not inferior to men, all right? Like, they're better than you. They're awesome. You know, they have their place in sports and in this world, alright? So, let's treat them right, let's respect them, let's be better, guys, alright? So, before we get to this interview, with Anna Melissa, let me remind you, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, download it on Stitcher, find it on Anchor, Android, whatever podcast app you prefer. If all else fails, you can always go to rayray.net/fun. That's the home site. Follow me on Twitter at the No Look Pass, and follow the podcast Twitter at rayrayisfun. So, promo, then Anna Melissa.
Hey, it's Sarah Spain from ESPN, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
By the way, when you hear this podcast, it'll be the 4th of July. So, USA, USA,
USA, USA.
Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 96. She wishes it was 69. My guest! The creator of Catch Lobs Not Feelings, integral part of Lakers Twitter since day one. Seriously, she's an OG. A pancake lover also, the very towering Anna Melissa. What's up?
Hey, what's up? How are you?
You can't keep a straight face.
I love that.
You cannot keep a straight face, can you? Here's the thing, like, okay. Spoiler alert for those that want to do podcasts and whatnot. I have notes on my podcast usually when I do this.
Usually.
But for today's notes, it just says pancakes and grilled cheese.
Oh my goodness. But you see, the best part about that is that we can openly talk about like our obsession with food and nobody will really understand what we're really talking about.
So I'll open it up here. Here's the thing. With the grilled the grilled cheese thing, like my roommate when I was living in Portland, sent me this link saying that, oh, those who eat grilled cheese will have better sex lives.
Clearly, I clearly do not have a lot of grilled cheese. I need more grilled cheese in my life, maybe.
See, I wish it was true because I like grilled cheese, and I don't think I've had a better sex life since then. I don't know. I don't think so.
What about the people that are lactose intolerant? Serious question here.
Well, I don't know. You're gonna have to find a more sexier food, I guess. I don't know.
Like pancakes.
I don't know. You know, the pancakes thing, I don't even know how that started anymore. I'm just kind of like, oh, here's...
I don't even remember. At this point, it's a whole mess. It's just all food.
Yeah, seriously. I just throw out food and you're just like, oh my god, shut up!
I can't even say anything around you in, like, that's food-related that will not trigger some sort of reaction.
I don't know how this happened. It just started with grilled cheese and it was over after that. Like, I don't even know.
It just snowballed.
Yeah, exactly. I'll say mayonnaise and you're just like, oh my god, shut up.
Stop talking.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'll try to steer this to the right direction. I don't even know how. But I met you in 2009, I believe. Was it the beach thing with Meta?
We formally met online. We formally met in 2009, but we had been talking online for maybe like a year or two prior to actually meeting in real life.
I want to say a year because I got on Twitter on 08. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I believe you were on the Lakers Nation prior to Twitter,
right? I was not.
I thought that that's where I met you. Okay, well, we met somewhere on the internet.
Yeah, I mean...
But we formally met for sure on the beach during the Run or Test Sandball, like...
Yeah.
...thing.
Yeah, I was there for a bit. And I was like, oh, Filipino! All right! You know? So, and, of course, I talked to you, to your sister, actually, during the whole bowling thing that he had.
Yes.
So... And
that was a crazy part of my life. It honestly changed my life.
Yeah, because you were featured on ESPN, right?
Yes, I was featured on like basically every local, not even local, just like any news station. So it was like CNN, it was like, and then NBA TV at one point for the association. And it was like the association on, and not for the championship season, okay?
Right.
So it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
There was ESPN, and then there was, like, KCAL9, all, like, the local news stations. It was insane. It was a very interesting part of my life, considering the fact that I was only 16, and we were getting a lot of attention for that.
The crazy part is that I actually remember him throwing out the question, hey, I want to meet some people in LA or whatever. I actually remember him asking that question on Twitter, and it turned out to be you guys that he went to. So that's pretty cool, and... came full circle and stuff. Like,
I think you should probably give people a bit of a backstory. So basically back in 2009 when Artest signed with the Lakers, he went on Twitter and asked Laker fans to like if there was anything cool to do in LA, and my sister and I thought that it would be really funny to just be like, hey, why don't you come over to our house for dinner?
Yeah.
And it was her birthday party, and he was just like, yeah, sure. And we like super young, which obviously was probably very dangerous. we're like, oh hey, let's invite like this random stranger from the internet to come to our house, and it just so happened to be Ron Artest, and he showed up at our door with everyone and was basically live streaming the whole thing.
He did karaoke there, right? I believe.
Yes, he did. It was funny because he showed up and then that first night, and then he just kept coming back for dinner, and one day we just decided to karaoke, and he rapped Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On.
I remember that, yes.
And that video went everywhere. My Twitter got, I believe, 72,000 hits in less than 24 hours that night. It was insane. And the best video, by the way.
Yes, because you're one of the first viral superstars of NBA Twitter, before NBA Twitter was even a thing.
Yeah, that was before. Yeah, NBA Twitter wasn't really real yet.
Yeah, exactly. See, like, I'm talking to a real superstar here.
Guys, I'm a big deal.
Yeah. Well, let's transition to because you mentioned karaoke. We're Filipino, so we like to sing. That's like our goal in life. Like we want to be singers, but it never happens.
all of us.
But you tried for The Voice.
Yes, I did.
How was that experience?
I did. I tried out for literally every talent competition. I was trying out for The Voice. I tried out for American Idol for the last season. Uh-huh. And then I tried out for America's Got Talent. The Voice shot me down, like, so many times. But for some reason, you know, I was, like, super duper. I was so set on trying to get on that show. And I was, like, at one point, I just gave up. I think I auditioned maybe, like, 8 or 9 times. America's Got Talent, the very first time I auditioned, I made it to the celebrity round. But I didn't make it to the audition. And then for American Idol, I actually ended up accepting a job prior to making the prior to being told that I was going to be one of the contestants. And then I guess the fine print says that you can't be a contestant on the show if you ever worked for like Fox or whatever. I was right. Like, well, I just ruined my chance. And that ship has like since sailed. And I was like, I'm just going to let it go at this point.
I tried for Idol 106, actually, the Jordan Sparks year.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. Not many people know about this.
No way.
I mentioned the story once in a while, but, like, it never really, like, caught on to people. But, yeah. I tried out in 06, in Pasadena. God, it's such a long wait just to get to the
producers. There's a reason why they call it a cattle call.
Yeah, exactly. And I asked my friend to come with me. She's not a very good singer, by the way. But I asked her to come with me. So we got to the producer's table or whatever. I didn't make it, but she did. And I'm just kind of like,
oh, no way.
But we're going to go in here for you, right? And, you know, I couldn't go with her to the next round because my brother was getting married that day. And I heard back from her. And, you know, they basically made fun of her. Because,
No way. That's
she
bad.
Made it to TV for like the 2-3 seconds where, you know, people are messing up basically. So.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's so bad.
And I was telling, and at the time when she made it to the second round to American Idol, I'm just kind of like, don't talk about it. Because I already knew something. She's going to be bad. I already knew that. And I told her, don't talk. And she talked about it. We were in the live journal days back in the day. So she talked about it in a live journal. She was bragging about it. Like, yeah, I made it to the second round. I'm just kind of like, oh, dude, this is not going to work well.
But you know what's funny is that they're so selective. And like so I worked as a casting associate for American Idol. Mm-hmm. And what people don't really realize is that like the whole casting thing is like so different on the other side. Mm-hmm. Like when, you know, the way that we, like when it comes to how people look and how it translates on TV and, you know, for a while, I got turned down back in 2012, I'd like to say. It was the year that I shaved my head and I went into an audition and I kind of looked a little like, I guess, androgynous. And I got turned down because they're like, oh, well, you're good, but you look like Bruno Mars. And I kind of like, to this day, it still hurts me. It felt like I got stabbed in the heart because they're like, oh, hey, you're super cool, but you kind of also look like a boy.
Well, I mean, you should have caught a grenade for them then.
Oh, my God, stop.
Yeah, so there goes our singing dreams, I guess. Well, I only tried for that 1 year. It's like I just did it because my brother said, "Oh, you should do it. You're 28. It's your last year. Just go do it, right?"
Even yeah, though just do it.
I'm just kind of like, dude, you're better than I am. You should have gone.
You have nothing to lose. Exactly. You don't pay to audition, and it's a fun experience.
It was fun. Yeah, I mean, aside from like waiting like 7 hours throughout the entire thing, then yeah, it's fine.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
because yes.
I got there around 5 o'clock in the morning. It was already crowded at the Rose Bowl. It was
insane. Yes, people camp out for that stuff. And up until recent, it wasn't until recently when they stopped allowing people to camp out for those things.
Yeah, so, and I probably ended up singing the wrong song too. I sang Always and Forever, which is like R&B-ish, obviously, but like, I probably should have gone more boy bandish, I guess. Because I'm serious. Like,
S-Club 7.
Yeah, that's more my thing, like pop. So, probably should have went with that instead. But, oh well. What was your go-to song whenever, like...
My go-to song? You know, here's the thing. The thing about Filipinos is that their favorite thing when it comes to like their favorite thing, like kind of music to like listen to or favorite kinds of songs that they like to sing are like the super hard diva songs. And that's like all guts on the floor kind of music.
Yeah.
And I used to go in and I was like super confident because like, I was super cocky. I was just really cocky. And I would go into these auditions and I would like belt out and I guess what it was that everybody was trying to do it. And there was nothing that was super different about what I was singing, like, in comparison to, like, the 2,000 other people that sang that same song.
Yeah.
Right before me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I heard so many people, like, sing Whitney Houston at the American Idol tryouts.
Oh, it's Whitney Houston, Beyonce, yeah. All that stuff. Jennifer Hudson.
Mariah Carey. Adele.
Yeah. Adele is the number one, probably.
Yeah.
There's like a solid list at one point of Adele songs, and there's that song that's super popular at the time, This Girl Is On Fire. People were not allowed to sing those songs. There was an actual list of songs that you were not allowed to sing.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. It is pretty intense.
I should have just like went for something simple, like I Want It That Way, which is like a karaoke staple for everybody, but
yes. You know,
God, it sounds so bragging, whatever, but it's not a hard song.
Yeah. Like, no, it's not.
I don't want to sing this song. It's not challenging enough. Listen to myself.
My guts aren't on the floor.
Exactly. Like, I should be, like, growling while I'm singing, you know?
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's how goodness. It is. Like, Mariah Carey growls sometimes when she sings and whatnot, you know?
Oh, she totally does.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Yeah, and Adele does it all the time.
I'll catch a grenade for you, you know? Like, stuff like that.
It's Kristen Ludlow from NBA Inside Stuff, and I was once on the Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast. Once. That was enough.
Now that we've done the whole singing thing, not about basketball.
Okay. But probably that's what we should be talking about.
I guess, like, so much went on in that 24-hour period. It was insane, right?
I felt numb. It was so weird because I was in church when the LeBron news dropped. And so I, like, casually looked at my phone and I legit started, like, sweating. I was like, what is this? Is this real? I was like, prayers were answered. And it was funny because my friend, Chris Manning, LD2K,
yes.
Was doing all of those like video edits. And he was had like the LeBron and the Laker jersey. And I was like, wow, how amazing would that be? And then it actually happened. And I still don't believe it until I see like that press con where he's holding up his jersey and he's like, and it is actually a Laker jersey. I'm not going to believe it.
Right. Let's address the elephant in the room. A lot of Laker fans hate LeBron. Like, yes. They feel so threatened by him. And it's weird because there are so many worse things to be worried about, but you know, a basketball player apparently worries them. So I didn't really see you hate LeBron the time that I've known you for years now. Like, you never really quote unquote hated him.
So. I actually didn't, because one of the things that I also like, one of the reasons why I think Laker fans are so opposed to the idea or so opposed to the idea of LeBron was the fact that there were so many like LeBron and Kobe comparisons. So it was always like, oh, LeBron's better, Kobe's better, LeBron's better, Kobe's better. And it was just always back and forth. And I feel like at one point there was like, Laker fans felt a little threatened. And they're like, but Kobe's my goat.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, it's hard because you have to admit the reason why you hate LeBron is because he's really good and you can't deny that. And the fact that he is basically superhuman scares the teams when, you know, or scares fans when he's not on their team. So I feel like that's kind of like the whole reason why Laker fans are, you know, and I was like, I appreciate the fact that he is an insane athlete.
Is Kobe your GOAT?
Yes. Okay. But I'm a little biased though because I was born and raised in LA.
Yeah.
From the moment I opened my eyes, it was like Kobe everything. And the very like my first vivid memory of being like a real like a Laker fan was the time when it was that three-peat parade in LA when LA Live still wasn't around yet, and I was sitting in the crowd for that parade, and that's still one of my like first Laker memories. So for me, it's like, I think it's more of an emotional attachment to Kobe more than anything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I was in the Philippines when I was watching NBA. 85, 86. I was just taught that the Lakers are good and the Celtics are bad. Like, it was just played out that way. Like, my dad's like, oh, Lakers are the good guys, Celtics are the bad guys. I'm like, oh, okay, sure. Like, what a 6-year-old Ray Ray now.
But what's crazy, though, is that when you go back home to the Philippines and you see the jerseys that people are wearing out in the streets, they are Laker jerseys.
Yeah.
More often than not, it's a Laker jersey.
I keep joking with a lot of Filipinos out there that the Filipinos' all-time favorite Laker is Nick Van Exel. Like, for some reason, it's Nick Van Exel. Like, you'll always see, like, Filipinos wearing Nick Van Exel jerseys.
Oh my goodness. And you know, for a long time, when I went back home to the Philippines in 2010, all the jerseys that were on the street, for some weird reason, were Ron Artest jerseys.
They saw your special.
They saw him eating pancit and halo-halo. Yeah. And they were like, oh my god, he's our favorite. That's it. Oh, game over for everybody.
Oh, si Artest, meron siyang ano, kumakain siyang kanin, nagkakaraoke siya.
Oh my god, did you see this video?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was, I think. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, who knows?
That...
I'd like to think that I have bigger influence on Philippine culture than I actually do.
Dude, that was actually the first time I ever spoke Tagalog on my podcast, like, ever. So...
That's amazing.
I just said that he's eating rice and he's doing karaoke. That's all I really said, so don't worry about it. And also, like, while we're saying first right now, I believe... I've been doing podcasts for, like, nearly a decade now, even back to the look past days and whatever. You might be like the first Filipino woman I've had on my podcast.
Yes, that's awesome. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I don't think I've ever had a Filipino woman on my podcast before.
Hey, I'm a first. I'm special, guys.
I've also never had a Filipino woman. period.
Okay.
Yeah. That was awful.
Alrighty then.
That was awful. Okay, the morning after the whole LeBron James thing, we talk about Filipinos. The Philippine national team got in a brawl.
Oh my goodness.
With the Australian national team.
That was so insane. And what was funny to me was that I don't really know what happened. I just saw these insane, like, world star-esque videos. And it was intense. It was like Malice at the Palace, but like tiny versions because they're Filipinos.
Yeah. Like, it might be like the biggest brawl since Malice in the Palace, I think, in a basketball court. Yeah, I just saw this little Filipino, I don't even know who it was, a little Filipino guy, just ran over the Australian player. All hell broke loose. It's like, what the hell just happened? It just...
Chairs were being thrown. It was a whole mess, and it was embarrassing. Entirely honest, it was embarrassing.
We saw Milwaukee Bucks center Thon Maker doing flying knees, like
and knees and elbows, just anything to get everybody just obliterated.
Former Wizard Andre Blatch, who now plays for the Philippine national team, was also in that fight. Like,
oh my goodness!
By default, he's our cousin now because he's naturalized Filipino, and all Filipinos are related to each other. So, yeah, it's just insane. We saw, like, this one of the Australian players were on a pile of Filipinos. Like, they're just
it was
like a jump in, basically. Like,
it was insane.
Yeah.
What exactly even happened? I don't even know. Like, I feel like it just all I've seen have just been these super intense clips.
So the Philippine national coach said that one of their players has been harassing the Philippine national team physically during warm-ups. And I'm like,
okay.
So why did it take till the third quarter to go ahead and do this?
You should have done that during warm-ups.
Yeah, exactly. The entire thing's just embarrassing. I had to defend our people for, like, the entire morning because they think we're crazy now.
Yes.
Of course. I swear, we're nice people.
I promise.
Haven't you seen, like, all these BuzzFeed pages where it's like, Filipinos are the nicest, or whatever?
Like, thanks. Now we're just going to be known as people that throw punches
that we
and chairs.
Yeah, we jump on people twice as tall, taller than us. We throw chairs softly at them.
Very softly.
Yeah. And then we just pile on you. Like, there's 10 of us jumping on you. Like, it's a jump in or something.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Very embarrassing. So bad.
Well,
I would just, like, imagine what that would be, what would happen if that happened in the league today with Twitter.
Yeah.
What that would be like. How many memes, how many GIFs, all of those little different things that people come up with for the internet almost instantly.
Yeah, it's insane. I can laugh at it now because no one got hurt seriously after that, but
yeah.
Geez, it's kind of hilarious looking back at it now. I was like, wow, this happened.
It's crazy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know, you know what happened after the brawl, right? They took selfies.
They took photos.
They took selfies. I saw
that, which I will never understand.
It's like, I might as well go to a funeral. I was like, oh, my aunt died. They take a selfie after. Like, oh my might God. As well do that, right?
I know, but you know what's interesting is that we have been programmed, I would like, maybe not programmed, but essentially kind of programmed to almost document everything.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that I've actually heard stories of people who are like EMTs where the people like, or they're like, they get picked up and they're like in an ambulance and there are people taking photos of themselves while they're like bleeding.
What?
It's like a real thing.
Okay, so my dad, as you know, went to the hospital about 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I never did any of that thing. It's like, oh, I should document this. My dad's almost dying. Like, that's insane to me.
Oh my goodness. But what's weird though is that like we live these super crazy, super well documented lives.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized too that like, I mean, everything that was on my MySpace from back in like early 2000s, it's all gone now. And we don't, like, have real physical copies anymore. Everything's digital.
Yeah.
So I'm also wondering, like, how much of that we'll be able to preserve. Because, like, who prints pictures anymore? Who, like, really it's so, they're so well documented, but for how long is that really going to last for?
You know, it's funny because, once again, I bring up Live Journal because I'm old. But I still have my Live Journal. Like, I never deleted it because of the, like you said, we document everything. I still wanted to keep it just because I don't want to go away. I'm not going to delete, like,
yeah.
a decade's worth of insane ramblings from me. I don't care how embarrassing it is, but, like, I just wanted to keep it just so, like, oh, I can look back at me when I was 24 or whatever.
Yeah.
And see how insane and immature and awful I was as a person.
Oh, my goodness. So, I started working in... So, I was working in PR for a little bit, and it was in sports. So, it was for, like, a couple of, like, pro athletes. And I was told, like, hey, you have to be careful with what goes up. And, you know, for me, the people that know me very well, I am very outspoken and I say it like it is.
Yes.
And I had to go back all the way back. So this, mind you, this was in 2016. I went 2016 and I went all the way back to when I first got my Twitter and I purged everything. And I was like going through my Twitter, my old tweets, and I was like, oh, my God. This is why I don't have friends.
I've been pretty careful. I mean, I'm just not that kind of guy that would just, like, hate anybody. So I'm not worried about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was so young, though. I was 16, I think, when I first got my Twitter.
Well, this
15
is true.
Or 16.
I was 29 when I first got Twitter, so.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say mature because that's obviously not true. So. I'm like, nearly 40. I'm making 69 jokes. I mean.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Like. Who the hell does that?
Ray does.
Yeah, obviously. So at least the Philippine-Australia brawl, no one got seriously hurt. I'm not even sure what the punishment will be, but wow, that was just something. I just want to say that we're not that crazy.
Okay. I'm pretty crazy, but I'm not that crazy. I used to be crazy like that. Let's put it that way.
No one's going to mess with you. You're a towering presence.
I know. I am just, everyone sees me and they're like, wow, I'm so intimidated.
Totally. Totally. Okay, so totally about 24 hours after the whole, oh, LeBron James broke the internet. He's with the Lakers now. Cool. Awesome. Warriors get the Marcus Cousins and that's not even fair.
Honestly.
That's not
that
even fair.
That was like the ultimate like, oh, checkmate. I mean, I understand, and so I've heard, like, there were also people that were saying, like, there were a lot of teams that actually did not want DeMarcus Cousins on their team because, you know, he's known for being so, like, he's notorious for being, like, for having a super bad attitude and all that stuff. But what they essentially did, regardless of whether or not they really wanted him on the roster, they took him and basically eliminated the opportunity for everybody else to have him on the team. They were just like, oh, I mean, let's just make it so that nobody has the opportunity to even have him.
Yeah. I mean, I understand he's hurt and he may not get back on the court until December or January. With that said, look at that lineup. Look at the starting lineup of the Warriors by February or March.
Olympic team.
Yeah. It's the Olympic team. That's not even fair. That's just not fair. Now, I'm not the ones that's going to call, oh, you got to take that back or they should. Yeah. No, I'm not like that at all. It's everyone else's fault for not trying to go get him.
Exactly. But what's interesting, though, is that I feel, because the whole thing is that, like, oh, it's not fair. There's a super team. There's a super team. But really, honestly, if you are competing, you are going to do anything and everything to make sure that the rest of the teams, all your competition, is below you. And they successfully did that. If that was their end goal, they absolutely nailed it.
See, I find it funny when some Laker fans complain about this. Because guess what? The Lakers were once there.
Like, yes, we were once stacked.
Yeah. Like,
but you know, it's also interesting because just because you're stacked, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be a great team, right? But that's, yeah. I think, what also makes Laker fans so angry is that Golden State is stacked and it works.
Yeah.
Because there was once a time when we had a fairly good roster and we were struggling. We were struggling, but we're not going to talk about that Dwight Howard era.
You know, when the Warriors got Cousins, I was kind of like, "Watch, the Lakers are going to get Howard back just because the team already looked so like insane with like bad chemistry, like McGee, Lance, Rondo, KCP. Like that doesn't look like a team with good chemistry at all."
I'm very curious to see what that's going to look like because we don't even know what's going to happen for the remainder of the off season.
Yeah, they all could be gone by January or so. Like each one of those guys could be gone. Who knows, right?
We're just going to wave everybody.
Yeah, exactly. It's just going to be like LeBron, Kuzma, Ingram, and Ball, and that's it. That's the whole team.
Oh
right
my
there.
God.
Yeah. But I just never crazy. Understood why, like, like, the Lakers were so stacked once upon a time. They're not,
yes.
Not once upon a time. Like, a lot of the time. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. The 80s, Shaq, Kobe, Ori, Fox. I mean, they consider that stacked back then.
Yeah.
Relative to the league. And, of course, there's Bynum, Odom, Ron, Kobe. Like, that's insane.
Yeah. And Laker fans are like, that's not fair. I'm like, hey, we did that at one
point. They won 65 games, and everyone pretty much knew they were going to win a title that year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's crazy.
I don't know. People are stupid.
Everyone's going to have their own opinion. And, I mean, sports Twitter specifically, they have very interesting opinions.
Yeah, well, you know, but there's a lot of them out there that have uninformed opinions. So, which is why, like, I hate the Skip Bayless types. Hate's a strong word. I don't hate them. Get your money. Get your money, whatever. But, like, they make sports fans, like, they have such an influence that they're making sports fans stupid. That's my issue with it.
Oh, yeah. So. I think so.
Yeah.
You could also just argue the fact that those are, like, a lot of those opinions are just from people who are fans and not necessarily people who really try and learn, like, the ins and outs of the game of basketball.
Yeah, but they still have a strong platform. They're on television, so yeah. That's my issue with it. It's like, well, you can have Kenny Smith and, you know, Shaq, who is sometimes right, in my view. And, like, at least they have educated opinions. And then you have, like, Skip Bayless out there, which, you know, a lot of us don't like him as, like, an analyst or whatever. So we're kind of like, why is he on TV? So that's just me.
He's on TV because he arouses a lot of people up.
Yeah, I mean, then go on WWE or something. I don't know. Like,
no, WWE.
Yeah.
How's it going, everybody? This is Brad the Geyser from Sacktown Royalty. You're listening to the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, and listen at your own risk.
We talked about opinions. You're a woman in sports, and yes. As you probably know, I've been talking to other women in the past episodes about how they handle themselves. Okay. So, How do you navigate the white dude-infested waters of the sports world?
Did you just say white dude-infested waters?
Yes, white dude-infested waters. Let's be real here, all right? Like,
honestly, you know what's interesting is that a lot of times as a female in sports, I've had a lot of super, super terrible experiences. I will tweet something out and the first response would be like, go back to the kitchen or shut up or stick to makeup. Do you just put makeup on your face? And it's, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes because, you know, you have to like keep it in your head. You're like, yo, these people are just trolling me. They're trying to get a reaction. But, you know, sometimes it really does get to you.
It does.
It really does. And sometimes you'll see me like pop off on the feed. I'm always ready to pop off. Uh-huh. There's someone that's like, oh, did you just do makeup? I'm like, yeah, well, guess what? You have your freaking profile pictures like of like some random player. Who are you even? Mm-hmm. And you know, what's interesting is that even as someone that's like worked in that space, I've had situations where people have like really questioned my intentions, like as a female, like, and I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday and she got a job working for a team. And the first question that they asked was, which player are you trying to date? Yes. And it's always like they have this weird expectation that we're in it for another reason, that we're not in it because one, we actually love the game or the game of basketball or whatever sport that you're working in, or that there's something that you're in it for. You're like, oh, I want to be Insta famous. I'm like, but that's not really what it is. And what's tough is you have to work twice as hard for men or like for employers even to take you seriously. That's the sad reality of it, is that, you know, it's people oftentimes still don't take women seriously, and it's super sad.
It's weird because like I know a lot of guys that would be like, oh, I want to date a woman who loves sports, and then the first opportunity they see a woman talk about sports, they're just like, name the 1997 Lakers starting lineup and name their favorite drinks. Like, what?
What is his blood type? Are you really a fan? Yeah, no, you're not.
I'm just like, dude, you said you want to date a woman in sports, and here you are asking questions about them. Like, come on, man.
What's funny, though, is that I think that guys are so used to having it as their space, right? There's always we're going to have, like, you know, like, people are like, oh, I'm going to have my freaking man cave. And it's like, we're going to watch sports. We're going to go play games in the freaking man cave. But, like, they're so used to having it as, like, a guy's thing. That when the moment they see a girl or a woman starting to prosper, or like they see a woman that really understands and knows her shit, a lot of times I feel like they are a little intimidated, which is like, at the same time, it's like, why would you be? Isn't that what you asked for?
It's that manly pride, I guess. It's like, I know everything and you don't, because you're a woman and you should go back and make me some sandwiches or whatever.
And make me some sandwiches.
And you know, it's not,
make me a sandwich.
I know. We make horrible sandwiches. Can make grilled cheese, though.
Oh, my God.
See, like, even, I won't deny it. Like, I was like that back then. And, you know, I have no one else but to blame but myself and society, in a way. Because men are looked at as superior over women, regardless, right? Like, that's the
way
it is.
I think it also has a lot to do, but maybe this is also me looking at it from the perspective of somebody who works in like brand strategy and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think it also has a lot to do with the way that sports are marketed. And, you know, even something as simple as like, I was having a conversation with some ladies. I was like, why is it that oftentimes there's like a gap, there's a huge gap that needs to be filled for women in terms of like even just something as simple as product. You know, we don't, for the longest time, you know, we could not buy jerseys that were regular jerseys that looked like the jerseys that guys got. And it was only until recently, even now, so Nike has their jerseys that are, you know, fit for women. But prior to that, we were getting like replicas, we weren't getting the swingmans, we were getting pink jerseys with like rhinestones on them, we were getting everything that we didn't ask for. And if we wanted something, we would have to find a way to squeeze into like a little boy size. Mm-hmm. And it's because there was like, they it was like we were treated like we were like a second thought, kind of like, oh, second class citizens. I mean, girls aren't really into sports, are they? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's just, it's really sad because it's still so heavily viewed from the eyes of men.
To be fair, I kind of want a pink jersey with stones on it. Like, I totally wear one.
I'll get you
one. Okay, cool. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, not even just in sports, but like, and again, I told you that I was not thinking like this before, but I made fun of my girlfriend a long time ago when she called herself a hardcore gamer, and I took offense to that. I was like, wait a minute, you know? And
I'm a hardcore gamer.
Me being an idiot man, like,
yeah.
I just said, you don't know this game. You don't know this game. Like, we're taught to be like this back then. Or still now, honestly. Like, you know, if this was me acting, 2018 me would hate 2004 me.
Like, but you know what's funny is that, you know, I was talking to a friend also recently. You know, we talk as women, we talk about our terrible experiences with women in the sports space, but, and specifically experiences with men. But what I also realized too is that there are also a lot of men that have been super duper supportive, which I think also needs to be recognized. And I think I remember that it was Casey Sager that was like, tag all your allies that are men that have supported you during a time when maybe you didn't feel like you were like super supported. And what's interesting is that I find that a lot of times when I get a terrible response on Twitter, whether it's I tweet something out about basketball and somebody doesn't agree with me, I will have like my like male followers jump in and attack the person for me. I just have to sit back and watch. And it's funny because like these are like accounts with like 20,000 followers and they're going in and they're just like trashing these people. They're like, wait a minute, what did you say to her? What did you say to her? And like, take that back. And it's interesting and it's great because I feel like there has also been that shift in thinking from a lot of men, which I feel like because they're so open and because they're people like larger followings, it does influence the people that are following them too.
Yeah. We still have a long way to go. We need to do better. Like, I've been openly talking about the WNBA more, which I probably should have done years ago. Yes. Because the women need support. Like, they just do. Because they can't do it by themselves. And if no one's helping them, it's just gonna make way for people to trash them. Like, we just saw, like, Asia Wilson and Kayla McBride defend themselves against idiot men on Twitter. And, like, it sucks.
And you know what's so sad? What's crazy is that, so I work for this brand that, and their mission is essentially to give women, you know, to work towards equality within a sports space for women, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that they always talk about is, you know, women are just as good and oftentimes even better than men, but aren't provided with the same resources, which is mind-boggling to me because it's like where I feel like oftentimes, you know, like for a long time, people were kind of programmed to think like, oh, why am I going to watch WNBA? That's not exciting. But I'm like, they're actually really good players. And if people actually really paid attention to them and if they had the right resources and if they had the right people promoting them and if they got more airtime, people would see that. But they don't get that. And it's so sad.
It's basketball. Like, I see people go out of the way to watch Summer League basketball.
Yes.
But yet, they're not going to go out of the way to watch WNBA, which boggles me because it's like, these are the best women's professional league in the world.
But what's interesting too is that I also noticed that the people that hate on female athletes mm-hmm. are oftentimes the people that aren't athletes themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that because the athletes, like the NBA players and stuff, they respect WNBA players because game knows game.
Right. Exactly.
It's crazy.
And I know. And I mean, I was an athlete once. Like, but I respect what they do. Like,
yes.
Okay. About a decade ago, I used to play at a gym, 4-on-4, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we had a team, like me, my friend Tony. Shout out to Tony. He's not gonna listen to this, but shout out to him. And we had two women on our team.
Okay.
Like one was like 5'10", and the other, she's deaf, so she played at the Deaf Olympics, but she played point guard for them.
So she's really, really good.
Wow.
And we barely lost. Like, they couldn't touch us because it's like, again, like the one who played point guard for the Olympics, they can't touch her. And the other one was like 5'10", 5'11", and she had good post moves, and they couldn't go against her, you know?
Oh my goodness.
Because she was so good. And, you know, it made me, again, as I was telling you, I wasn't very respectful towards my own girlfriend about gaming.
Yes.
But, like, you know, playing with women in basketball, like, it basically helped me make that shift, like, yeah, a decade ago, you know? And game recognizes game, and I'm trying to be better about this. And I'm not perfect by any means. And, you know, I just wish that other guys, even my own friends, will look at women as equals, or maybe, you know, even admit they're better than they are, you know? So
we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, we have a lot of work to do. I'm still working on it. So, you know, I'm trying to champion women here, but I'm not perfect either. So I'm just working on it.
But you're honest about it. That's the important part.
Yeah. God, I got serious really quickly. We should just go ahead and talk about pancakes now.
Hey, got serious. It worked.
No, but seriously though, like, that's why, like, I never really made it public, you know, about how, like, if you guys have been listening to the podcast, you sure have seen, like, some sort of, like, pattern going on here. And the pattern will continue. And, you know, I'm not gonna make it too obvious.
I thought you were just featuring your gal pal squad.
Well, if I said that a certain member is not a member of a gal pal squad, like, oh, that would be hurtful for them. So, yeah. Anything else you want to say before we wrap this up?
I think I'm all talked out.
Go ahead and publicize your social media and whatever else you want to advertise.
Okay, yeah. So my Twitter is @AnnaMelissa and my Instagram is _@AnnaMelissa. @_AnnaMelissa. And yeah, so catch lots of feelings, guys.
Yeah, tpublic.com. She has an account there. Go and buy a shirt, catch lots, whatever color you want. And by the way, if you say AnnaMelissa really fast, it sounds like Animal Lisa.
Oh my god. Somebody, so please.
Thanks for coming on.
For sure. Game over,
yeah! #BlameRayRay.